Okay, I gotta wait for it. Can everyone hear me now? Okay. I don't see anything yet because this is on a delay, right?
Yeah, it's 10, about 12 seconds.
12 second delay. We're all looking like, what does this mean?
You don't have a cool intro like me, though.
I don't have a cool intro like you. I've been waiting for Luke to make me one of those. When I grow up, I'll have one of those.
It's not hard.
There we are. Look at us.
Yeah, it's not. It's not hard.
All right, I'll turn that down. Look at us. I look all cool with the books behind me, and well, you look. You look like you're hovered over the microphone, like you're ready to.
I was like this.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta.
You can do the Larry King.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. I'm Larry King. I've smoked way too many cigarettes in my life.
I'm the Marlboro Man.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. All right. So I'm. This is interesting. Okay. So everybody's getting on here, so that's good. We have a normal crew of about anywhere from 50 to 75 people, sometimes 100. It just depends if I'm talking about something weird. But since I have you on here, it's going to be weird for sure. So anyway, say hi to everybody, Pastor Mike.
How's it going? It's Pastor Mike Hoggard, Bethel Church, Festus, Missouri. I'm a lot better at this than Jason Cooley is.
Amen. I agree with him. He's way more professionally, but he is older than me. He's had a lot of years to do this.
Yep.
So he's a lot older than me.
Never been afraid of a camera. Never been as shy of a camera. Never. Yeah. So it's a joke that I have when people come to our church and they say, oh, Pastor Mike, can we take your picture? And I'll go, I'm really camera shy. And they'll go, oh, I'm sorry. And then they'll see me grinning and they'll go, you were kidding, weren't you? Yeah. I was just kidding.
Yeah, he's not shy. We know that for sure. This just in, the Tokyo Olympics postponed. Well, that's too bad for them. I don't know what that is. That might be a little light. Or maybe it's for ozone for you to breathe in.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, maybe.
That's corona. It's coronavirus making them pause the Olympics.
Yep, that's what it
is. And my wife, my wife sent me a text, said the Surgeon General is coming out today saying that this week is going to be far worse because nobody's taking this seriously. And I believe that. Everybody thinks I'm not going to get it. I'm immune, or, you know, I'm not touching anybody. And it's from what I hear, it spreads by the virus can stay alive on a surface like 3 or 4 hours. So somebody touches something, like you go to the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got the virus on their hand. They pick up the gas pump. You come by 2 hours later, pick up the gas pump. You are now.
I mean, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
It's a virus. That's what viruses do. They're designed. It's a capsule of DNA or RNA, and that capsule is just like what's in leaven or yeast is a little capsule that has, you know, this little bacteria in it. And it's the same way with a virus. It's a little capsule. It has a little packet of DNA or an RNA, which is single strand. And once that it stays in the air, I think an hour. So people going through Walmart, coughing, gagging. We went to, me and my son, Caleb, went to KFC before we came here, and we had to walk up to the drive-thru because our van was too tall for it. We have one of those Ford Transits. And we're in there looking in the window. One of the workers packing the food in the boxes going, like that. And I'm just going,
oh, no.
Goodness.
It's over.
Yeah. So people don't. If the health officials tell you take it seriously, then trust that. What is it going to hurt?
Right.
What is it going to hurt to not go to the mall? Of course, the malls are closed. You know, if you absolutely need something, go get it. Go back home. They're telling everybody to stay indoors. So my wife is at home. My daughters that work for me, I told them, do what you can on a computer at home. and our office. I think my secretary was there for a little while today because it's the day after Sunday.
So right,
making the deposits, doing a minimal thing. Nobody else is there. She's going to do her job. She's probably back home by now. And, you know, what has to be done, do it, but keep it down to a minimum. And I like what, I can't remember what official or somebody on the news said. You know, if you're young and healthy, these people get the virus and they get sick, you know, whatever. And then after that, they're fine. But you got to think of grandma. You got to think of grandpa. You got to think of little kids who might have asthma or something like that. So to keep grandma's going to stay home, but you're going to go check on grandma. But you've been out touching everybody's everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you can stay home, I recommend stay home.
Yep.
It's not, we're Americans. We're not used to that. But
we don't like people telling us what to do.
No,
we're not very good at it.
We don't. We're not Europeans.
Yeah.
Okay. This is how we are. But it's time to start thinking a little bit differently. And of course, everybody's afraid this is the apocalypse. This is it. This is going to start the new world order and, you know,
tanks over in the streets
and bodies laying everywhere. And I don't think that that's it, but I just think it makes sense to sort of pay attention to what's going on.
Well, here's my take on it. I think that what he said, what the Surgeon General said is right. You're going to see an uptick in numbers. But I think it has more to do with the fact that they weren't reporting everything or testing people. And now
Could
the
be.
Testing is finally coming out. And you're going to see – but you are going to see an uptick in numbers just like you do when these things happen. I'm not saying this is – I think this is more severe of a virus than others. I think that's probably true. And for some people, it's going to be very severe.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be very severe. So I get the urgency to talk about it, to deal with it, to make people think. And if anything, being more cleanly and making sure you wash your hands.
My wife sent me with a box of gloves.
Yep.
Rubber medical gloves. I put them on when I filled the tank up on the van. I put them on when I went in Walmart. You know, I don't have a mask to wear, but I put the gloves on so that everything I touched, you know, I'm clean. So I go back out to the van, pull the gloves off, throw them away. That way I don't have to. I minimized it. Did I touch something? Possibly. But I minimized the danger. I minimized it. And I
right.
think that's probably the smart thing to do.
Yeah, and I think your groups that are very apt to get this, if you're walking around unhealthy, you know, not by your own accord or anything, but that's you're just sick, you know, you've got infirmities and things, then I think that you should really be the ones to take extreme precautions about limiting your space with others and all that kind of stuff. But also those that are older, I think they should, in any type of season like this, especially when it gets bad, should be careful.
Yeah.
You should just be careful. You know, and so I'll tell you what, though. I know some old folks that, man, my dad's ornery. I mean, he just is.
Come on, give it to me.
He's just.
Bring it on.
He's just like, this 80-year-old man was in the store the other day, and he's just like, I'm supposed to be 6 feet away from you. And he's just laughing his head off, you know.
How old is your dad?
My dad, he's 70. He's 76.
He ought to run for president. He's 4 years younger than Joe Biden. He's 4 years younger than Bernie Sanders.
Bernie!
And Joe Biden can't think a straight sentence.
There's no way that guy's getting elected.
There's no way he's getting elected, but he can't. I mean, they have him reading all his speeches. Did you see Biden when he was doing his live podcast, his live stream? They had him in front of a background. He's got an iPhone up to his mouth like this. He's talking in it, and he's talking out of the side of his head. And then he wanders off camera. He's like half on camera, half off camera. And finally, whoever's running the cameras just took him off camera and put a graphic up you know, Joe Biden for president, whatever, because he's not, he doesn't think. We need somebody who thinks for a living.
Yes.
Instead of somebody that just,
and someone that doesn't like
the economy,
and somebody that doesn't like hugging and touching girls all the time.
Little girls.
All the time.
Look up Joe Biden touching little girls.
It's weird, man.
The guy is nasty, dirty, old man. I've watched him in videos, not just pictures, videos, where families will want to take a picture with him. He will reach over and grab the girl.
Little girls, yeah.
And drag them over right in front of him. And he's got like one girl in front of him, and he's just like massaging her head. And I'm going, you pervert.
It's weird.
You are.
Who does that?
He goes, he's got to be, there's got to be flight logs to him in Epstein Island. Got to be.
Could be.
Anyway.
Could be. Anyway, that's, look, there's going to be a lot of rabbit trails today. I'm sure of that one. Creepy Uncle Joe. Yeah, that's right. He is creepy. Anyway, the dude's a weirdo. But anyway, I did say, I'll say this before we get started on our topic here, that Trump did say today, which I thought was interesting. He said today, he said, you know, he said, we got to make sure that the cure for this is not worse than the actual disease. And what he meant by that was he said, you know, I don't know how long we're going to be able to keep the economy off the books, you know, like this.
Yeah.
That we got to get healthy people are going to have to sooner or later get back to work and start moving. So I don't think this is something that he likes in that sense, like he wants to keep doing this. I understand all the conspiracy stuff and I get it and I talk about some of those, but I'll tell you at the end of the day, if somebody out there tells you they know what's going on and they got it all figured out 100% and this is it and Trump's the Antichrist and Obama was supposed to be too and so was Bill Clinton, who he was just a pervert.
And Ronald Reagan was.
And Ronald Reagan, yeah.
And Richard Nixon and
right.
Who was the guy that was Secretary of State under Nixon, the Jewish guy?
Oh, I forget. That's before my time.
Well, it's, but he's still around. He's the guy that came out in 08, New York Stock Exchange, said this is going to bring in the new world order.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
Not Kissinger, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Henry Kissinger.
Oh, that guy. You know what I think about his voice?
People were saying he's a Syrian-born Jew, so therefore he's the Antichrist. And I'm going, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
You don't have seven heads.
And every time you hear him, talk, I just think he's like, I eat babies. That's what I think about that guy. That's what he sounds like. Like, he really does eat babies. Anyway, that's just my... I'm telling you, the guy's got a bad... The guy is creepy. Telling you,
yeah, I know the feeling.
He's creepy. He's creepy, man. He just is. All right. Anyway, all right. So, Trump is smart. Yeah, he is smart. I think he is, and I think he knows how to play people too, which makes him even smarter.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another day. You all know how I feel about that. I didn't vote for him, so. But
okay.
You know.
Let me bring this up. Okay. And I'll just run this by you. Have you heard of Q?
I have. Now, is this what we were going to talk about?
Well, we'll spend a few minutes.
I'm fine with it. Okay. No, I'm fine with it.
Because you brought up Trump, here is, I'd heard about it. I had a guy that is a friend of mine. We were at a meeting, and he said, have you heard of Q? Said, no. And so he explained a little bit about it, and I didn't look at all at anything Q related until last, I think, November, October, somewhere around in there. And just briefly, what Q is supposed to be, and again, I don't know any of this is true, but here's what Q is supposed to be. The story is that I think sometime at the time Trump said he was running for president, or maybe even before, there were some top generals, and again, this is the rumor, there were some top generals and some NSA guys, patriots, good guys, love their country, don't want anything to do with the UN, New World Order, it's America first. They've been monitoring the Obamas, the Bidens, the Clintons, the Pelosis, the Bushes. So it goes both ways,
oh, yeah.
Republican and Democrat. They've been monitoring these people, knowing. I mean, it's no secret. Hillary Clinton was selling United States foreign policy and money from the United States Treasury. She would go to Syria, and or make a phone call to Syria and say, "Hey, we'll privately back you. We'll send you a $1 billion loan that you'll never have to pay back, but you kick back $15 million to the Clinton Foundation." The Clinton Foundation is a slush fund.
Oh yeah,
everybody knows this.
Oh yeah,
because they dip, they launder the money, they dip into it however they want to. This is how the Clintons became multi-millionaires off of a politician salary, really? Okay. So did the Obamas. So did the Bidens. They're hooked in with Ukraine and Burisma. No doubt about that. Pelosi is as well. So is Mitt Romney. Okay. That's why he turned and voted against Trump in the
because he was connected to that.
He was connected to Burisma.
Yep.
So anyway, these guys, these military guys, they hated Obama because Obama was anti-military. And he was destroying our military. These guys, because the word was, when Trump gets in office, he's going to start a war immediately. Well, these guys went to Trump when he became president, and they said, "We don't know if this is true. You know, they're saying you're going to start a war. We're begging you, don't start a war now. We don't have ammunition. We don't have what it takes to win a war right now because the last guy
depleted everything.
Depleted our military." So supposedly Q is a guy with, there is a Q clearance in the government. It's a top secret security clearance called a Q clearance. And supposedly that's what it's based on. But these guys at some point went to Trump and said, "We think we can trust you. We want to know if you're pro-America, if you're going to do what you said you're going to do. You said you're going to drain the swamp. We think we know how to do it because we've got all the phone records from everything Obama did, Pelosi did, Clinton's did. We've got every, you got to understand, we've known that the NSA, which stands for No Such Agency, because nobody knew about them for years.
Right.
They've been operating. We've known that throughout, we've known this for the last 15, 20 years, that they've been, since the Patriot Act at least, they've been collecting data, been collecting phone records, text messages, emails, web browsing, flight records. They collect massive amounts of data, okay? And we're as Americans going, "We don't like this, we don't like this." But what if they focus on what the bad guys are doing, okay? So anyway, Q started, I don't know anything about anonymous postings. I don't know anything about that. But apparently there was a thing called 4chan where you could go and make these anonymous posts. And Q started posting things about what was going to happen. There's my coffee. There's
All
Scooter,
right.
My son. Yay! I would hit the button that where everybody's going,
I don't have that button.
You need a button.
I need my own sound effects.
And yes, I eat poison. Okay, that's enough. So anyway.
Look, you told him to bring the whole store full, so he did it.
Q has been posting things since 2017, Q, somebody named Q. That's their online identity. It's just the letter Q. Has been posting these drops, and what it is, it's little messages informing people, whoever would read it, that they have the intelligence on the Bidens, the Obamas, the Clintons, the Pelosis, and the Bushes, and all of these, what they call the deep state people, the people who have been running the show now for the past 30 years.
Give me one of those Splendas.
Just one?
I don't.
Like 50 look. Of them. So anyway, Q has been putting out and leaking some of the things that these people, the deep state, has been doing. Some of the things they've been involved in. Like, and their link to Jeffrey Epstein, because they've got multiple pictures of Epstein Island. They've got, and they said, here's one of the things Q said in their drops. These people are stupid. They took their phones with them to Epstein Island. So here's this. We've known now that the NSA has the ability to tap into anybody's cell phone, turn a camera and microphone on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, forever. So you're a creepy deep state pervert hooked in with Jeffrey Epstein. You go to Epstein Island. You took your phone with you. You go into one of these rooms with this 16-year-old girl.
Right.
And you lay your phone down next to the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Q knows what you did.
Right.
And everything you said there. Okay? Now, here's this, I believe, because the reporter, I watched a podcast with the reporter that broke this story.
Wow.
It was a reporter in Phoenix, Arizona, that got a tip from an inside the government source. He said, I trust this source, that told him that a secret meeting took place between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch on the tarmac.
I remember that.
Remember that?
I remember that meeting.
Okay.
That caused a lot of controversy.
Where did this reporter get his information from? He got it from somebody inside who knew what happened on that plane. Because, here's the story. Because Bill Clinton is waiting in a limo. Loretta Lynch had just landed in Phoenix with her staff and her husband. The staff gets off the plane. She stands up. She's got her purse in her hand. Her husband's standing next to her. They get up from their seats. All of a sudden, Bill Clinton gets out of his limo, walks on that plane, and sits down in a seat.
His wife is under investigation.
Bingo. The what that just came out, 33,000 emails are missing, right? So 33,000 emails, right? That's a number. So anyway, Clinton just sits there.
What's that?
Loretta Lynch, you want him to see how much Splenda I'm putting? That's none of your business. Anyway, I like it sweet, but I can't handle the sugar. So anyway, Clinton sits down, does a teleconference, a video conference with his phone with Hillary on the other end of it. The NSA recorded every second of that meeting.
Wow.
Now, here's what was said, because Q released this in a sort of a so-and-so way. Mm-hmm. In other words, didn't come right out and say it, but this is what he was getting at. That Loretta Lynch was the one human being on the planet that would have investigated Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server, which is against the law, and what was in those 33,000 missing emails. What was in those emails was every dirty deal that Hillary Clinton made with enemies of the United States of America, exchanging American cash, like the pallets of money that went to Iran.
Yeah.
American cash with a kickback to the Clinton Foundation. So they're now filthy rich. Mm-hmm. They got millions of dollars in this foundation.
Hundreds of millions.
Hundreds. So anyway, Clinton says, you know, what if a certain seat on the Supreme Court ended up just becoming vacant here before too long?
Wow.
That was before Scalia died.
Yeah, perfectly in his sleep at his
ranch. One of the few places in the country where they don't automatically do an autopsy on somebody who dies of natural causes. If he'd have died in D.C., what would they have done?
Oh, an autopsy right away.
He's in one of the few places in America where they don't automatically do an autopsy on a dead body. Okay? So they say to Lynch, we're offering you a Supreme Court seat. Hillary's going to win the election. You're going to get on the Supreme Court, and what you're not going to do is investigate this. Okay?
Wow.
Then they get off the plane. Then an anonymous tip comes in. Well, it's not anonymous to us. The reporter knows, but he's not going to name it. The reporter knows who it was. It's a trusted source inside the government, and he said. So anyway, he comes out with this story. Nobody, see, why does Clinton meet Lynch on a tarmac? Because that's a secure area. Who can go out there? Reporters can't go out there.
Only
nobody
security.
Can, exactly.
Government security.
Okay, so that's why he did it that way. So he wouldn't get caught. It wasn't supposed to be known that he was going to meet her because nobody was supposed to know about it. Nobody could have seen it. Okay, so mm-hmm. then a reporter comes out. This guy said, they asked him, have you had death threats? He said, are you kidding me? He said, I've had multiple death threats. This reporter did because he knows too much. Okay, so Q, and the bottom line is Q is saying and has been saying all this time that at some point there is going to be an operation take place. And some of these deep state people are going to be arrested. You know, Obama, when he, at his first inauguration, after he gave a speech, went right in to the White House, sat down at a desk, and signed a piece of paper saying, I'm going to tear down Guantanamo Bay, the prison that they had down there for mm-hmm. terrorists.
Yep.
Okay, it's the first thing he did. I watched it. Okay, yep. I remember that day. Trump spent $100 million building it back up. If you look at a before and after picture, you can clearly see the difference.
Sure. Okay?
Now, I don't know how true any of that is, but it makes a very compelling story because let's say that, and there's a lot of pictures that Q has released where he has been within the direct vicinity of President of the United States. Took a picture. There's a picture that Q released of the back of President Trump as he's getting off Marine One, and the picture was taken from inside Marine One.
So he's somebody that's close to the
somebody. That's called
the
a Q proof. Look up Q proof, and you'll see things like that. Now, that makes if all of this is true. You would think that the deep state then would try to get rid of the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What's been happening since Donald Trump, before Donald Trump took office?
Well, they called for his impeachment before he even was inaugurated.
They did worse than that. They bugged Trump Towers.
Yeah, he said Obama. I remember watching that. He goes, Obama tapped my wires. That's what
Listen,
he said.
You know who told him that?
Yeah.
Q.
Oh, is that who told him? I didn't know that.
I mean, he said, and one of the things that Q said was, look at the dates.
Bubbly.
Trump finds out his office is tapped. He moves out the next day. He said, look at the dates.
He moved out the next day?
He moved out the next day. Because here's what happened. According to Q, and according to some, there's some other sources that can back this up. You can look this up. Obama used Comey, James Comey, director of the FBI, and a couple other guys that have been named in this
mm-hmm.
to go to the FISA court. FISA court is a secret court
mm-hmm.
to subpoena phone records or wiretaps on an elected official. Okay, has to be secret because if they find out about it, then that blows the cover. So what they did was, and they're being caught in this. This is a known thing. That we know that they lied to the FISA court.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were saying that Trump was being
handled. And the head of the CIA did. Was Comey and the head of the CIA that lied about that.
Okay, so what's Trump done since he's gotten to be president? He has replaced top people at the FBI. In some cases, he had to let them show themselves whose side they were on.
See, I always thought that there was something because – you know, I'm skeptical of all politicians anyway.
Yeah.
But I did think,
and you should be.
But when I looked at it, I said, you know, there's something up with this, though. There has to be, because there's no way in the world, like this president, I've never seen one under siege so much in my life.
Exactly.
Where, like, he's not even allowed to be the man. Like, I mean, he does because he runs his mouth anyway. But when you look at it, like, all those other guys, they were allowed to, like, be the man. Like, yeah. They were just like, no, this is done. It's over. And Everybody was like, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
He's, like, the only guy that's come in where they'd be like, no, it's not over.
It's not just hatred. It's fear.
Yeah.
Okay. So you would think, okay, have they tried to assassinate him? Look this up. Just off the coast of Washington State, a missile fired at Air Force One. There's a picture of it on the internet. Look it up.
Right, but missile? What about also? All these weird Chinese nationals that sneak into Mar-a-Lago or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
and they're over there, and then all of a sudden they find out they're like spies.
Yeah,
and then you have these Chinese people that are coming onto these bases.
Yeah,
and they're like walking onto bases like, oh. I didn't know what I was doing. I was lost.
Oh, on top of that, and this I know for a fact. The first time I ever bought security cameras for our church, I bought a few cameras. We put them up, and then I had them linked to a computer because I had a program that would capture the cameras, record any action on it, and I'd have it on a computer. And I noticed that because we had a router that kept logs. And every now and then, I'd looked at the logs of the router, and I kept noticing that about every 30 seconds or so, something was going out to the same website. It was an IP address.
Yes.
So I typed in the IP address to find out who owned it, and it was a company in China owned by the Chinese government. So what I knew then was that the images from that camera was going to a place offsite in China somewhere. They were recording what was going on in our church. Then, a few years later, it's announced that the government has bought thousands of these cameras, all made in China, all with this software embedded in it, and they installed them in military installations so the Chinese government could spy on the American. So China is linked with this.
Right.
Okay, because, let me go back to Bill Clinton. I remember distinctly when Bill Clinton became president, he had the EPA issue an order that said only a certain type of clean-burning coal can be used from now on in America because we're protecting the environment.
Yeah,
there was two places in the world where that type of coal could be found. One place was in the United States of America. The other place was in China. It just so happened that the place where that coal was in the United States was considered a wildlife area and could not be touched. So that forced us to buy coal from guess who?
China.
And Bill Clinton, it was, I mean, Rush Limbaugh.
Well, Bill Clinton sold the rights to the, like, some missile defense or something system, didn't he?
He sold a base in San Francisco to the Chinese.
Yeah, and that's why the Chinese really wanted Hillary Clinton to win that election.
Absolutely. Listen. The Clintons have been in bed with the Chinese since before Bill Clinton was president because Rush Limbaugh used to tease it all the time about
Chi-coms.
Chi-coms. So China has been Harry Reid, Nevada. That whole thing about the cattle in Nevada and that rancher out there.
Oh, going, yeah, those ranchers.
I'm not moving my cattle. That was Harry Reid who had promised the Chinese that they would get mineral rights to that land.
Yeah. And they fought them.
Yeah.
Those cattle guys fought them. Absolutely. And they won.
So think about it, people. Some things don't make sense and some things do.
Right.
Epstein did not hang himself. And his lawyer, Epstein's lawyer, when Epstein got arrested, Epstein's lawyer released to the press a letter saying, my client is a dead man.
I remember that. I watched that.
Okay. My client.
I don't think anybody believes that Epstein killed himself.
Nobody.
I don't think there's anybody in the world that believes that. But he might not even be dead either. That's another thing.
The night that he got beat up, that was an.
I knew he was dead.
That was a hit. And all of a sudden, all the power went off in Lower Manhattan, where the jail was, mysteriously at the exact same time. And Q reported this. Q said, ask the question, why did the power go off at the exact same night that Epstein...
And the cameras fail.
Right.
And both cameras fail.
So here's the thing about Q. I don't know. I can't say this. But Q is saying that at some point, and there's even been an examination into United States law on whether or not some of these people can be tried under military
tribunals.
Military tribunals. Instead of, now here's, okay, let me get back to Trump. He's been replacing FBI people, CIA people, and over 200 federal judges. If a case ever went to a federal court, if it was an Obama judge, throw it out. But now it's one of Trump's judges. So he's been replacing federal judges.
Oh, yeah, like more than any president ever.
Exactly. So Q says that's for a reason. Okay? So the theory is that at some point there's going to be an operation and that they're going to make an arrest. And Q says that the first arrest that they make will absolutely shock the entire world. But he's not saying who, and he's not saying when it's going to take place. Okay? So that's Q in a nutshell. Believe it or not, I don't know.
How long has he been around that Q? How long has he been
reporting? Q's been dropping posts since 2017.
Okay.
Okay? Since after, in fact, Q released something. There was somebody that Trump hired in a certain position, national security advisor or something like that. And the day after, these Q posts start coming out, and Q said, connect the dots. So, you know, it does seem to be somebody that at least knows their way around. And they're telling us the president's going to be safe. He's backed by these generals, and he's backed by the military. Love him. Military guys, he goes over there all the time.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They love him. And they got his, and they've said there's pictures that Q will release of army guys in fatigues, guys at Gitmo that are holding up Q signs. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're holding up Q signs, and they are standing at the entrance to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Okay? Wow.
So there's Q guys down there. There's, and he sends out pictures of Q people around the world. Korea, North, South Korea, India. There was a guy holding up a sign saying, you know, I'm with Q or whatever. And so it's a lot of people. And we're talking millions of people in America and around the world who have been watching the Q drops, the Q posts, to see what's going on. And they're the ones telling people, look, this virus going on. What if this is the basis for what Trump's going to do? You know, what if getting everybody to stay home and having National Guard out on the streets? Don't be alarmed at that, is what Q was saying. Don't be alarmed at that, because we need this in place so we can do X needs to be in place so we can do Y and Z. Mm-hmm. In other words, so that's all I know about Q.
That's interesting.
Again, I can't tell you that that's true. I can't tell you it's not true. I don't know, but I've been reading it.
Well, it's interesting, that's for sure.
It's going to make a good movie one of these days.
Well, I've never heard of it before. I mean, I've heard about Q, but yeah. I've never really explored it. I never looked into it because I was like, yeah, okay, well, whatever.
Look up pictures. Go to Google, type in missile fired Air Force One, Washington State.
Wow.
And because something happened and a bunch of people, it came out in the newspapers, you know, what happened, you know, off the coast of so-and-so. And there's a close-up of it. It's a missile. It's a missile.
Wow.
Okay? Allegedly fired at Air Force
One. You definitely have China that's really ticked, too, because they've lost a lot of money.
Sure they have.
You know, because they were manipulating our currency for such a long time and doing all the stuff they were doing. So that's kind of interesting. We'll switch gears here.
All right.
Let's see here.
I have a picture.
All right.
I'll hold this up. Can you zoom
in? If you emailed it to him, he could put it on, too.
He can Google it, okay? This was 1971. One of our subs surfaced.
I'll be right back. You keep going.
Okay, one of our subs surfaced, because it had an air contact, and they caught on camera this UFO coming up out of the water, and they took snapshots of it. Okay, you can Google that. What I did was Googled, what did I Google? U.S. submarine photo UFO. And there's it's on a bunch of places. There's an article, express.co.uk, where, let's see here. Let me go to that website, and I'll read the article. Could leaked UFO photos taken from U.S. submarine in 71 prove existence of aliens? Photographs revealing bizarre UFOs claimed to have been taken by U.S. Navy submarine crew have been hailed as the best ever evidence of extraterrestrial visits to the Earth. Because, you know, a lot of people are saying that they didn't see the UFO come down from the sky. They saw it come up like out of a mountain or out of a lake or out of the ocean. So the article says specialist researchers of UFOs believe the black and white images supposedly taken from the USS Trepang, T-R-E-P-A-N-G, SSN 674 is the sub number, in March 1971 are evidence of secret U.S. aircraft tests or alien life forms looking to carry out an early form of fracking. Now, I don't know if I believe that, but Alex Mistretta, a paranormal investigator and author, investigated the images after they first appeared in French paranormal magazine Top Secret following an alleged leak. He claimed insiders told him the pictures were taken from the U.S. submarine on its journey between Iceland and Norway's Jan Mayen Island in the Atlantic Ocean, with the admiral on board at the time said to be Dean Reynolds, Admiral Dean Reynolds. Then it shows some of the pictures. So, you know, I went to a church, good people, love the Lord, love the Bible. And, you know, I understand that I've been reading UFO books since I was in sixth grade. And somebody recently, they said they were at a used bookstore and they saw a book on UFOs. They bought it and sent it to me. And when I got the book, I opened it up. I was looking at the pictures and I'm going, this is the book I had when I was in junior high. It's in one of the school library. Mm-hmm. I recognized the pictures in it. So I've been reading books on UFOs, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, you know, Yetis, Sasquatch, any, you know, haunted houses, any kind of mystery that there was, that's always been a fascination of mine. And so when in 1997, when God laid it on my heart to study the Bible, looking at Bible prophecy, one of the first thoughts I had in my mind was, hey, I'll do something on UFOs. Well, I didn't immediately do anything on UFOs, didn't talk about it. I put out a video several years ago called UFOs, Chariots of the Beast, and it was just a one-time, it was like an hour, 25-minute long video. And I basically looked at Ezekiel 1, and I said that in Ezekiel 1 is a companion to Revelation 4. It's like two eyes looking at the same thing, but from different directions. Ezekiel says that one of the faces looked like an ox, but Revelation says it was a calf. Okay? I don't see a discrepancy. A calf is an ox.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so what difference does it make? But anyway, it's two ways. It's the Old and New Testament looking at the same thing. And I noted that Ezekiel called them living creatures. Revelation 4 called them beasts. So I connected them together. And this actually didn't come to me until I'm recording it. It's one of those things that God said, Mike, connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was talking, I actually had to stop and I edited it out because I'm going, wow. And then I started talking again and I said, did you catch that? that where it says the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. I said, these wheels are round like saucers, like discs. And then I said, Revelation 4 doesn't call them living creatures, it calls them beasts. So I said, let's put those two together. The spirit of the beast is in the wheels. Dun, dun, dun. Okay,
yeah.
That's the connection. So that's why I titled it Chariots of the Beast. And I talked about Von Daniken's book, Chariot of the Gods. He was partially right, because what Von Daniken did was he looked at, he's the whole guy who started the whole ancient aliens thing, because he writes.
He's the astronaut theory, or is that different? It's
The ancient astronaut theory?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Von Daniken. Von Daniken wrote his book back in the late 60s, and it took him years to find somebody to publish it. Nobody wanted to touch it, because they thought he was nuts. But what he did was he looked at all these old paintings, all these old carvings, all these old statues, and he said, looks like they're in a spacesuit, or it looks like they're in a spaceship. And I remember reading Chariot of the Gods when I was in high school, you know, reading all these UFO books. Von Daniken is looking at Ezekiel 1 and saying, it's not God, even though you believe in God, it's not God, it's these extraterrestrials. And he said, this is their flying ship. So I went, I'm a young Christian man, and I'm going, he's wrong, you know. But I never forgot about the idea. So I did this one video back years ago, didn't touch it until, again, last year. It just seemed like, because I knew that the Pentagon had released the three, what's called the three videos, the Tic Tac, the Go Fast, and the gimbal UFO. And what they are, starting in 2004, and it goes through like 2014, we have the most sophisticated video surveillance cameras with high def, with forward-looking infrared, with everything you can think of on the front of our jets. I mean, these jets are $1 billion, if they're anything. And we have the best trained men and women in the world flying them, okay? So some of these scientists, egghead scientists, are saying this is obviously misidentification or there's something wrong with the equipment.
Right.
If there's something wrong with our equipment and these guys are supposed to be protecting our borders, our
we're
country,
in a lot of trouble.
We're nuts. So that's just an argument for these guys to say we don't believe in UFOs and we don't take it seriously and you people are stupid. That's basically their scientific answer. But anyway, it was Tom DeLonge, Blink 182 rock star,
mm-hmm.
who is a Freemason. He has a square and compass on his guitar now.
Wow.
Okay, so he's an admitted Freemason. And Freemasonry, what is Freemasonry about? Freemasonry is about the joining of heaven and earth.
Opposites.
Every symbol in Freemasonry, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's their handshake, the way they cross their legs when they pose for a picture, their aprons. Everything in Masonry is about joining heaven and earth together.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is. You read Manly Hall, you read Albert Pike, and Albert Pike says, this is heaven and this is the earth. And this symbol here, this is the heavens and this is the earth. And they're joined together. So then that takes you to Daniel chapter 2, they, which is four principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, and high places, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. So last year, the people at Fargo, the Red Rivers of Prophecy Conference, wanted me to submit what I was talking about. And I never know. So I'm just going, okay, UFOs and cryptid creatures. So then I'm going, well, let's see, I'm supposed to talk about this. I better do the research. So I started doing the research. A guy sent me a thumb drive, had over 650 UFO books in it on PDF and ebook. So I've got that collection. I've collected a bunch of my own. I bought some from Amazon. downloaded anyway. So I've got all these books, and I'm doing. I like them in PDF form because you can search.
Yeah, it's easier.
You can search and look for keywords and so on.
Studying is a lot easier.
Yeah, instead of reading a whole 680 page book.
Yeah, you can skim it.
Yeah, I can skim through it and find what I want. But in looking at all of these, including Colonel Philip Corso's book, The Day After Roswell, and I'll talk about that in a minute.
But let me ask you a question real quick. What outside of the Word of God, obviously, what extra biblical source? Because I know how you work. I mean, I've been around you long enough to know that if you don't see it in the Bible, then you're not going to deal with
it. I won't touch it.
I know that not just because you say it, but I know it because I've known you for a while.
It's
so
reputation.
It's what you hold to. It's your. Yeah. So that's why when I hear you talk about something like this, I know you're being serious about it, and it's something that you've thought about a lot. Mm-hmm. And because I know there's things that you won't touch yourself, and you kind of back away from it if you're not 100% sure what you're moving forward with. Because it makes you nervous even, to the point you don't want to lead people astray in that sense. So I believe that. Mm-hmm. So what extra biblical source do you think has been the most influential where you were like, how in the world did they gather that much information? Or in the sense of, wow, I picked up a lot on this that I never considered out. I see it in the scriptures, but this guy, he's not saved. How did he figure this out? It had to be the devil that showed him. Was there some source, one of those books?
There's a few of them. I couldn't say it's just one. Those that have listened to me over the years know that I reference Manly Hall's book, Secret Teachings of All Ages. And I have some other books by Manly Hall, but Secret Teachings of All Ages is like an encyclopedia of the occult. And by the occult, I don't necessarily mean Satan worship. Like, I don't read books by Aleister Crowley and Eliphas Levi. I just don't. Those were bad guys. Those were evil guys. But Manly Hall was a guy, and he's got a huge library, which is still open. It's open, I think, to the public. But he had an endowment. He had some rich person give him tons of money and says, go research everything you find out and tell me what it is, and I'll pay you. So he amassed this huge library, and he read all these books, and he gave all these speeches. But when he wrote Secret Teachings, it's about this thick. You can get a PDF of it. But what he did was he digested all that he read. It's like taking all these books here, reading every one of them, and then writing down what's in them in a short, in the Cliff Note version. So that's what he did.
He's like an encyclopedia on that.
Exactly.
He amassed all of it together and did a encyclopedia.
He tells
form.
You, in essence, what the symbols, what the ancient religions were all about. He said at the beginning, all of these religions basically were the same. They had different names for their gods, different names for their goddess, and in some cases, different rituals. But the fact that they all had rituals that were similar, because if you take it and boil it down like a good stew, then all the flavors meld together and you get a picture. And he said, basically, there's one great, big, gigantic secret. So I use Secret Teachings of All Ages. I've read Morals and Dogma once. I read it through once. Every now and then I'll reference it.
Did he reference anything in that concerning aliens or anything like that?
They didn't use the word, none of them, neither Pike nor Hall, because they were pre-47. 1947 is the year. Okay, after that, boom, aliens. Okay, but Crowley died in 47. But he met Lamb just before that. Okay, and then Crowley dies, so he's got two disciples. Jack Parsons.
Yep, that's him. The compulsion missile guy
Jet
or whatever.
Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Yeah, that guy,
the best rocket scientist other than Von Braun.
Who was friends with Disney.
And then L. Ron Hubbard.
That's it. Yeah.
And L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons got together.
Tried to get Lamb, didn't
they? And they had, they wanted Lamb, but they also wanted a goddess to come out called Babylon.
Yeah.
Okay. And they got her. Okay. They got in touch with her. So anyway, which is like what Stephen Greer's doing. Anyway, yes. I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
So you ask, I got to answer the question.
Yep, yep.
Shut up over there.
Anyway, yeah, Luke. Knock it off.
All right. So anyway, Secret Teachings of All Ages. You can go to any bookstore and probably find a copy of it. And then Philip Corso, because he is a colonel in the United States military. And these guys, for years, never talked about what they did when it came to...
And they're not flippant people. No. Military people like that, that are upper brass like that, they're not carried away with stupidity.
It's not like, me and my wife come out of the trailer the other day, and we saw a light up in the sky, and came down, and there's this little green man coming out of it.
Hey, have you met my neighbor? No,
I'm just kidding. No, these guys are professionals. These guys are trained. These guys are hardened military guys who don't run their mouth. Some of these guys have security
tight-lipped.
Clearance. They're tight-lipped. But... Corso coming out in the open while he's still alive saying, I wasn't at Roswell, but I was at, there's an air base in Kansas, forgot what it was. I saw the body. And then he says, my boss, General Trudeau, named him at the Pentagon, gave me a file cabinet. And he said, there's files in there and there's pieces in there of wreckage that we recovered from Corona, Roswell, and Aztec. You take them. You go to these companies that are contractors like General Electric, like Lockheed Martin, like, you know, some of these companies,
big
that,
companies
that had security clearance contracts with the government. And he said, you give it to their scientists, have them figure out what it does, break it down, tell them they can have the patents to it, give it to the people. But we get it first because we're the military. We need to use this because we're fighting the Russians and we want better stuff than them.
Right.
So Corso writes the book Day After Roswell. And then there's another book that he wrote. And it's, and he tells this. You can find this on YouTube. Look at Colonel Corso. Anyway, you can look at some interviews that he did on camera before he died. And Corso said that he was at one time stationed at Roswell. And he was told that there was some caves not too far from the base where there's some weird stuff going on. So he goes out, takes a Jeep, goes out to investigate. And he said, and this is in that book, he said that he sees this 3 foot tall, gray, big eyed, big head thing. And he said the entity is communicating mentally, telepathically.
Because you have a theory that they don't move their mouth, like they don't have lips or whatever to talk with, or a voice box.
That's what people have said. People that have met them, or there's another guy, Richard Doty, who has an hour and a half long talk with Stephen Greer. Because Doty was briefed, he worked at Kirtland Air Force Base, and Doty was briefed on the whole military interaction with UFOs and aliens since before 47. He was shown a film. He was shown films of the wreckage. He was shown films of the autopsy. He was shown films of various craft that the military has taken in, and he's telling all this, okay? Some of it, he says, I can't talk about. It's hush-hush, top security. Even now, I can't talk about. But some things I will talk about. But anyway, Corso goes out there, and he meets this gray alien. And the alien is telling him what they suspected. That at Roswell Air Base was the only, 1947, the only place in the world where atomic bombs were stored. Because that's where they flew out of, was Roswell. They were tested just outside of Roswell, Trinity site, and then the Roswell Air Base had them. And the theory was that because they had a very sophisticated and very powerful radar network set up around Roswell Air Base, that that was somehow interfering with the aliens' technology on their ships and causing them to crash. So Corso is getting communicated by this alien, and the alien's telling him, release, turn your radar off for 15 minutes and we'll leave, because they were stuck there. And Corso said, what's in it for me? In other words, what are you going to give me? Mm-hmm. I've got you stuck here. I want something out of it. And Corso said the alien said to him, a new world, if you'll have it.
Wow.
Yeah. So Corso wrote a book. It's in manuscript form. You can find it on the internet, called The Dawning of a New Age by Philip Corso. It's a free, go find it, go read it.
So, okay. They're saying that Corso is saying that, those gray aliens operate those saucers.
Yeah.
That's what he believed, that those.
And including, Corso said it, Bob Lazar said it. Bob Lazar was a young guy who's all of a sudden his entire life's history disappeared from off the planet, because he worked at S4. And understand, we all say Area 51 like a joke. Mm-hmm. But it's because of Bob Lazar. We're talking 1987, 88 when he did this. He's working at Area 51 and a place away from there, off of Groon Lake by Papoose Lake, area called S4. Nobody knew about S4 mm-hmm. in 1987 or 1988, whenever he did this. Nobody did, because that was hush, hush, hush. Super top secret. So he comes out. He gets in touch with George Knapp, Las Vegas reporter. They do a live interview. He's in a TV news crew van, and they've got the sun directly behind him, so his face is black. You can't see his face. And he calls himself Dennis. It turns out Dennis was his supervisor's name at S4. So he calls himself Dennis, and he says that he works at a place called Area 51, S4, where he works on captured alien craft. And, of course, the news people are going, really? You know, how's it going? And he says, as far as what? And she's nervous. She's like, I don't know what to ask this guy. Well, how's it going with back engineering? And he said, well, it's going kind of slow, because there's a lot of things about it we haven't figured out. But since then, there is a documentary.
Explain back engineering quickly.
Okay, reverse engineering. Let's say a company comes out with a brand new computer or a brand new toaster, okay? And it's the best toaster ever made, and they patented the parts of the toaster.
Okay.
So GE comes out with a toaster. Well, Samsung wants to make that same toaster. So Samsung goes to Walmart, buys a toaster, takes it to their lab, pulls the screws off to see what's in it, to see how it's made.
Right.
Find out what that chip is in there and what it does, okay?
Gotcha.
Or when Microsoft, back when they first started, when they released their MS-DOS, okay, they had that copyrighted. They had it patented. That's their operating system. Companies around the world wanted that operating system. They just didn't want to pay for it. They'd have to pay Bill Gates a license. That's how he got rich.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they took the code, looked at it, figured out a different way of doing what that code did.
Right.
Because there was guys that were looking at it going, if our code shows up in your software, we're going to sue the daylights out of you.
Yep.
So that's what back engineering is. They take it. They don't know how it works. They take it apart, try to figure out how it works.
So they've got these saucers.
Nine of them.
Nine of these. There's nine of them the U.S. government has at possession, least. At least, that
at
we know
least.
Of. And they all crashed.
Some of them, no, not. He was debriefed. They sat him down in a room, and they didn't tell him everything. But he sat him down with a stack of papers like this tall, and they said, spend today and tomorrow reading these. But you're not taking them with you.
No Can't cameras, leave with them.
No cameras, nothing. Eyes only. Read through these. And what he said was, it was giving him the U.S. government's knowledge of extraterrestrials and UFOs that goes back mm-hmm. thousands of years. And then Let me add this. And I have it. I have the document. The Air Force, when you took training with the Air Force to be an officer, you had to take an astronomy course.
Mm-hmm.
The astronomy course textbook had a chapter in it called UFOs.
Okay.
And where they were in officer training, they had a whole chapter on the United States involvement with UFOs that it goes back thousands of years. That if you think you see one, here's how to identify it.
And they train the Air Force on this, officers.
They train the Air Force officers and the pilots.
Have to know this.
To know what to look for.
Protocol.
Okay? That was chapter 33 in that book. I'm not kidding you. I'll show it to you tonight. Okay?
Hey, Ben.
But anyway, once that was leaked, that was back in the 60s, early 70s. Once that was leaked, they pulled it.
Okay.
Okay, so it's not in there anymore. But you can find a copy online. So anyway, Lazar said that one of them, they actually had...
One of the nine ships,
they actually had working. And wow. They would test it on Wednesday nights because they knew that the highway, this is before they bought all the extra land around Area 51 because people started getting on top of the mountain and looking down and see what they were doing. So they bought more property, so there's no way you could see it. So anyway, they said that on Wednesday night, almost nobody goes down that highway, so they won't see it. So Wednesday nights at like 9:30 is when they test this thing. Lazar knew that. How did he know that? So he tells John Lear, who's a friend of his. John Lear is the son of the Lear jet guy.
Okay.
Okay. So he's a pilot himself. He's a CIA pilot.
Hmm.
So he gets with Lear, takes John Lear and another guy out to outside of Area 51, and exactly 9:30 on a Wednesday night, boom. They've got it on video, okay? There's this light shining up in the sky doing stuff that, it's not a plane. So once Lazar comes out, he does. He gets shot at. But he came out openly to protect himself. And they were tapping his phone and he knew they were tapping his phone because one of the supervisors he worked for came to him and said, "We hate to tell you this. Your wife's having an affair."
Oh.
Because they were listening to the phone calls. Because he was gone for days, then come home like on weekends, stuff like that. And so she thought he couldn't tell her what he was doing. She thought he was running around. So she goes out, has an affair, and it just ruined it. They ask him, "Now that you know what you know and did what you did, are you sorry?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm not a UFO guy." He said, "I don't care nothing about it. But about is we have technology that could solve the energy crisis. It could solve the food shortage. It could literally create a new world here. We have the ability to go anywhere we want to in the universe. And the military is keeping it secret out there." And he said, "That ain't right."
For a time, right?
Yeah. So Bob Lazar there's a documentary that Jeremy Corbell did.
So are all
on Lazar that are, came out. He's telling the truth.
Are all nine of those in one space, they think, or are they all
they're
over?
In hangars that are they're meant to look like they're disguised to look like the side of the mountain. In other words, they got a sandy texture to them, and from a mile away, which is the closest you would ever get. Never know that they were there. So, but again, he's the one that introduced Area 51 to the world because for him, nobody knew.
And what year was that?
1987 or 88, somewhere around in there.
Okay, so let me ask you this if you know anything about this. Did you mention, you didn't say Von Braun, did you?
Werner Von Braun, yeah.
Okay, you did say his name. Okay,
yeah, I did.
Because that's part of Operation Paperclip.
Yes, it is.
So how does Operation Paperclip come into this? Because I'd like to know. That seems...
Okay, before...
What is Operation Paperclip?
Okay, I'll explain it in a minute. Okay. Before Roswell, 1947, in the 30s, a UFO crashed in Germany.
Okay.
Hitler sends... Because Hitler is very fascinated with the occult.
Mm-hmm. Nordic stuff okay. too, right?
Oh, yeah. Nordic especially. The Thule Society, Thule means the North Country. Ultima Thule is a mythical land that's at the North Pole. But the problem is there is no land at the North Pole. Mm-hmm. So it's not the North Pole. It's up there where God came from in Ezekiel 1.
Right.
The north is up there, okay? So Hitler's fascinated with the occult and any advantage he can get militarily. So a ship crashes. Hitler gets it. Von Braun's one of his scientists, and a guy named I can't remember. He's a German. He's like the German Einstein. Schlauberger.
Mm-hmm.
Schlauberger, look that up. He was a German scientist, one of their best. And all of a sudden, Schlauberger, von Braun, they're starting to work on things nobody had even conceived of before. Okay? And it's known that Hitler was building saucer-shaped, look up the Bell, okay? Der Glock, okay? Which is the German word for bell, okay? Because Hitler was making disc-shaped flying craft with guns on it.
Wow.
Okay. So von Braun and his scientists, and I have some of the quotes, you know, they asked von Braun when he came over here, where'd you guys get all that technology? He said, it was given to us. Okay. Mm. So Hitler was that close to winning the war.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was developing the V-2. He was developing the atomic bomb, and he was developing a lot of stuff that would have given him, there would be no way. If Hitler had the atomic bomb, he would have bombed London and New York and Washington, D.C. without thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have been the end of the world as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was, I believe, the grace of God that allowed us to break through the lines at Normandy.
It wasn't the time.
Yeah, it wasn't the time. So, but Hitler was working all these things. Where was he getting the ideas from? And they were all saying they were coming down to them. So von Braun, Operation Paperclip was, there wasn't a CIA during World War II. It was the Office of Special Services, I think, the OSS, which then turned into the CIA. But then they institute Operation Paperclip. They had to work out a deal with the Russians. Russians wanted the scientists, too.
Oh, sure.
Okay. So the Russians got one group of scientists working on one thing. The Americans got all the rocket guys and atomic bomb guys. So we get them. We bring all these. And these guys are Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Von Braun's big time. Nazi.
Big time.
Okay. And all of a sudden, we write them a pardon, give them a clean slate. Come over here. Come down here to New Mexico. And go to work for us.
So they're working at Area 51.
Yeah. So no, there's no Area 51 at that time. They're in New Mexico.
Okay.
At the Roswell base. They're working on the air base out there, and they're working at the Trinity test site. And all of a sudden now we have an atomic bomb, and we have rockets. Okay. And von Braun, of course, he's the head of NASA or one of their chief guys. And he's the one that's, you know, working with Jack Kennedy to get guys to the moon, okay? Now, here's an interesting story about the moon that I can't – part of it I can verify. But I've heard this from about four different knowledgeable sources. One of them is a guy by the name of Don Wilson. If you go to Stephen Greer's YouTube channel, look for a guy named Don Wilson and listen to him, because he was a contractor working for certain departments, because there is no such thing as the government.
Right.
It's very compartmentalized. And most of the recent presidents are not briefed on U.S. involvement with aliens or UFOs. They're not told.
Why do you suppose that is?
Carter wasn't told anything. There is a story that Richard Nixon and Jackie Gleason were buddies. Okay. And Jackie's visiting Nixon at the White House or somewhere down in Florida or somewhere. There's a base where they had a bunch of stuff stored. And Gleason's big into UFOs. And Nixon says, get in the car. So Nixon drives, he's president, but he leaves his security detail and he goes to this Air Force base. I can't remember which one it was. And he takes Gleason into this secured area and shows him stuff. And Gleason's going, he's freaked out.
Okay? I bet.
Freaked out at what he sees. Okay. But after Nixon, they quit briefing presidents. Reagan supposedly knew some things. That's why he gave a speech at the UN about what if an alien force, he's doing this in front of the UN, and who believes in UFOs, right? But Reagan's like, what if an alien force comes down and, you know, attacks Earth? Wouldn't that unite us all together? Really? Okay. But they didn't tell Carter anything.
Right.
They, of course, George Bush now, knew. He's head of the CIA. He knows.
Now, here's the thing. I have a theory about that, too, possibly, that it's because these men that are short-term in office are only in there.
Exactly.
They're elected by the people, or at least the illusion of the, of that they're the people's man, right? So they're not going to give anybody. It's not permanent government.
That's right.
Entrenched in the government and, information.
And Bush was. Bush was CIA.
His whole family is.
Yeah.
All the way back
but
to the Nazis.
Clinton wasn't.
I'm having my Carter Alex Jones moment. Hold on.
Obama wasn't, okay? So they didn't brief these guys. But Hillary, you remember Hillary when she's running.
Yeah.
And there's emails between John Podesta and, who did I say, Blink-182?
Who was a known pervert, by the way, himself, Podesta, connected with all that room.
There's emails that were part of the WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
That Podesta was in contact with people about when we get in the office, we're gonna dig up these files. Okay, so which once that's leaked, there may be more than one reason why Hillary's not president now. Because the secret part of the government that deals with UFOs and aliens, they don't answer to Congress. They don't answer to the president. They don't answer to anybody.
Their clearance is top, higher than all those people.
There's $1 trillion missing out of the Department of Defense budget. Donald Rumsfeld himself said it. We've got $3 trillion missing. We don't know where it is. Well, it's in black operations and black projects.
Always.
That are, you if it's a need-to-know basis. And let's say you're a guard at Area 51. If that's all you are, is a guard at the gate at Area 51,
you don't know anything.
Okay? You might see things, but you're not told anything.
You don't know what it means.
Yeah, you don't know what it is, okay? So, but here's you know, to Stephen Greer's credit, and I don't like the guy because he's a hardcore, he's making phone calls to these devils every day, okay? He's in contact all the time. But to his credit, when he went gathering these guys up out of NASA, out of the CIA, out of Department of Defense, out of military bases, when he goes and talks to these guys, he says, look, I know you signed a security contract saying that as long as you're alive, you will never talk about what's classified as top secret. But he said, I want you to ask yourself the question, the stuff that you worked on that was related to UFOs, it's not in your security clearance. It's beyond that. And it's illegal, actually, because it's not under the direct control of the Constitution.
Right.
So he told these guys,
because Congress has oversight.
Congress has oversight. And he's telling these guys, Congress does not have oversight over what you did with these UFOs. So that means you can say this, and they can't do a thing about it. So in 2001, Greer convinced about 20 of these guys to come forward who had firsthand knowledge, okay? Some said that they, and I showed this last night, but I didn't talk about it. A guy that worked at Malmstrom Air Force Base in, I think it's in Montana or Nebraska, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got Minuteman silos there. Minuteman nuclear missiles, 16 of them. And this happened in the 60s. He's down in the control center, down, you know, 200 feet underground. He gets a phone call from Topside. Topside saying, boss, we got these red glowing objects up in the sky hovering around the gate. And he says, call me later. Click. Okay. Well, then he gets a call back saying, they're like right over the silos.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm watching the control panels of these missiles. Boom, boom, boom. One after another, they shut down. And he said, every now and then you'd have one go down. You don't have all 16 of them go down. He said, all 16 of them drop just like that. And he said, you got to understand the nature of this. If I got a phone call from the White House saying launch codes are on the way, you're to launch all 16 of your missiles at Russia.
Because they can't launch theirs. Them.
He said, I can't launch my missiles. They're dead in the water. We had to have guys come in and reboot every one of these missiles. And he said, those things shut them down. That happened. You can look that up. You can look up.
So their technology is so advanced that it shut down the missile defense.
Richard Doty said that he investigated, because that's what he did for the military, was he was an investigator. He investigated a situation where a warhead was taken and stolen out of a missile.
Okay.
Out of a missile silo. Warhead was. And he said, you got to understand, nobody gets in a nuclear missile base. Nobody does. And he said, we actually got fingerprints off of that missile. And he said, they're not human fingerprints. And, you know, human fingerprints are whirled.
Right.
He said, these were all side, straight line, side to side. And he said, he actually saw a photograph of an alien that had like four arms. And he said, we determined based on the placement of the hands that that's what it was. But he said they stole the warhead right out of it.
Wow.
So look up Bentwaters. That is in Rendlesham Forest in England. So we have a NATO base over there back in the 80s. And the guys that worked that base that were part of this, most of those guys are still alive. Colonel Charles Halt was the officer in charge. And they had two incidents around Christmas, mid-80s sometime. I don't remember the exact year. But these guys are talking now. One of these guys did a hypnotic regression of his. He was a guard, I think, at the base that was called out because this UFO landed in the in Rendlesham Forest, which is right next to the base. And he went out to investigate. And he, you know, he's one of these guys having nightmares all the time. He's like mental problems all of his life. So he gets regressed. And I watched his part of his regression. And he is freaked out at what he's seeing. He's reliving it. And he says, I see this eye, this big eye glaring at me. So anyway, look at that, because that was also, we had nuclear silos there. We had, they stored nuclear weapons there, nuclear bombs that were to go on bombers, you know, airplanes that flew out. And he said, the ship beamed a beam down into every one of those storage places where we had these bombs at. Okay. And a lot of these people are saying that there's something about the nuclear bombs that the aliens don't like. I don't know what that's about. I don't want to
speculate
about that. But there's another source. You're asking me about sources. There's another source.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reporter. And I'm gonna have to look the name up. Linda Moulton Howe is her name. Moulton, M-O-U-L-T-O-N, Howe, H-O-W-E. She started out as an investigative reporter that got sent out to look at cattle mutilations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, study in the Old Testament, study, in, especially in Deuteronomy, where God said, the nation that comes with a fierce countenance, whose tongue thou shalt not understand, they're going to steal your cattle.
Right.
And he said that she said she was sent out to study these cattle mutilations.
Right.
And she interviewed a lot of the police officers involved that were investigating it. And they were saying this had to be done. This was done by aliens or people from outer space because it freaked them out. Because all of a sudden these cattle are found. They were killed and put in the place where they were found. They were killed someplace else and dropped in that place. And a lot of times every drop of blood was missing. And they were cut. A lot of times their genital organs were cut out. But the cut was made on the molecular level.
Hmm.
It was like something sliced between the cells.
Wow.
Okay, when they looked at them. So anyway, she's been investigating now UFOs for most of her life. And as a reporter, Colonel Corso met her one time, and he said, how in the blank did you get the information you got? Because she got stuff that was top secret, and he knew
it. Wow.
Okay. Now, she is one of these that's like all in favor of let's meet them, let's find out what they want kind of stuff. So I take that with a grain of salt. But she seems to be able to find out information that not too many people can get a hold of.
Hmm.
Okay? So I listen to her because I know that she's going to present information that I think is probably well-researched.
Okay.
And again, if I hadn't – and you can go back and look at everything that I said up until March of last year. I never – talked about Roswell crashed alien ships because it didn't make sense to me how angels could crash and die. Never made sense to me until, and I remember it, I was laying in bed reading, asking God, God, I gotta go talk about this in 2 weeks. And I don't know what I can say because I don't know what's true biblically. Okay? So, God, I have to have an answer. I'm on the clock here, God. Okay? I got 2 weeks. 1 o'clock that morning on a Thursday night, the Holy Ghost said, I have said ye are gods, but ye shall die like men.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, Roswell. Roswell. So then I followed that up with, I remembered Ezekiel 28. I've said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Well, that's the sea of glass where the throne is on the chariot.
Mm-hmm.
And, but God said, thou art a man. Okay. And even says that about Lucifer in Isaiah 14.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So that makes some scholars think that it wasn't really the devil. It was the king of Cyrus or
right.
whatever, king of Tyrus. So,
but the king of Tyrus wasn't in the Garden of Eden.
Exactly. That's been in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God. Every yeah. precious stone was thy covering.
That was Lucifer.
Yeah. So anyway, so immediately I said, that's it. These devils come down here. They're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
which involves hybridization, probably animals, mutilations, like you're talking
exactly.
about. But I have one question for you here while you're talking about this, along this lines. I'm trying to understand. The Nordic guys, I kind of understand a bit. Okay.
Yeah.
I get that because I see it. I've heard some witnesses. I've had people tell me
yeah.
that they've seen some of this. And that these men were so attractive and everything like that,
yeah.
that they were drawn to them. I won't say who told me that, obviously, but
yeah.
someone told me that at one time, that they experienced that somewhere in New England, and which I thought was really weird near Salem, but where all the witchcraft and the hotbed is for witchcraft and all that. However, here's the thing that I'm trying to figure out that I'm trying to get an idea of. We know that Lamb, okay?
Right.
We know Lamb
is a devil.
Is a devil.
Absolutely.
So there's no question about that.
Right.
However, I'm trying to understand the fact that these grays are, they're operating these ships they look like lamb.
Yeah.
Okay. But what exactly a part of that piece of the puzzle or the order are they? Because they don't seem to be like the Nordics who are, and I know there's different classes, but they're, do you see what I mean? Okay, go ahead. Okay. Yep.
did you ever see the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Maybe years ago. I don't remember though.
Okay. You can look this up. You can Google the image. 2001 Space Odyssey, the ending. Because Arthur Clarke and who was the director of that film? Famous director. Did The Shining.
Spielberg?
No, not Spielberg. I can't remember his name. But anyway, Arthur C. Clarke and this director was sort of writing the script as they went in some cases. And the ending's weird.
Okay.
There's no words. There's no explanation for it, which is what they wanted. And at the end, it shows what, if you read the book, it shows the star child.
Okay.
And it's basically, if you look at a picture of it, it's like a fetus in a big star bubble womb, big head, big eyes, staring at the earth, okay? And what it's supposed to represent is the whole movie of 2001, A Space Odyssey, is about a new age of a transformation coming to planet Earth, okay?
Okay.
Because the astronaut is transformed, okay? He lives. He's an old man. He dies, and this scenario is that he's rebirthed, and he's this big fetus looking over the earth. Okay, it's going to transform the whole world. Now, I'm taking the long way to this.
That's okay,
because I'm explaining it.
Yep.
Travis Walton was a logger working out in Snowflake, Arizona. Working at a forest, his buddy had a contract to clear brush out at a big forest out there, so there's no forest fires. Travis Walton gets zapped because they see looks like one of the trees is on fire because they thought lightning struck it, and they're supposed to call that in, okay? So they go investigate. It's not a tree on fire. It's at night, and it's a big ship, big red glowing ship. Travis jumps out of the truck, goes running over there, gets zapped. There, he's like hanging in midair. Okay. So anyways, buddies take off. A minute later, they turn around, come back. Travis is gone. 5 days he's gone. FBI investigates, or the state police investigate, and they're following these guys around saying, just tell us where you buried the body, you know, then, you know, we'll think maybe you guys got drunk or got in a fight. We'll call it self-defense.
Right.
They're trying to talk these guys into admitting what happened because they told them the story. This is what we saw. 5 days later, Travis Walton shows up. He calls his buddy and says, I'm like 30 miles away. Come get me. He's got a beard like yours. He's got 5 days growth of beard. He hasn't eaten and drank in 5 days. They have to put him in the hospital, rehydrating. Okay.
Yep.
And he says what he remembers is the last few hours of it. He didn't know he'd been gone 5 days. He thought it was just a few hours because he woke up. He's on the table and his grays are around him. But here's how he describes them. They look like fetuses. With big heads and big eyes.
Right. Yep.
Now, there is a document.
Okay.
It's an ancient false gospel.
Okay.
Written by the Gnostics. You know, during the time of Paul, the Gnostics were busy writing these fake gospels, like the Gospel of Judas, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene.
Thomas.
Gospel of Thomas. These are all mystery doctrine gospels, okay? And they're writing it. The Gnostics are writing it. But anyway, they find in Nag Hammadi in Egypt, they find a collection of these Gnostic writings.
Okay.
Okay. One of them is called something about the Archons. I could look it up. But it describes two types of demigod-like characters or creatures.
Okay.
That sort of have a form of ruling over the planet, over the earth.
Okay.
The first group that they described were reptilian-looking creatures. Humanoid reptilian. We know that that's the dragons. That's right. The reptilians. The second group that they called the Archons was a type of demigod that looked like a fetus. Big head, big eyes. Okay? The word Archon is the Greek word from whence the word principality is translated in the King James.
Yep.
Okay? Like an archangel. That's where we get the word archangel.
Okay.
So it means a chief angel.
Okay.
Chief prince. Like
chief prince.
Gog.
Yep. Like Gog, in Daniel, too.
Gog is a chief prince.
Right.
Okay? So this Nag Hammadi text actually describes a principality devil as looking like a fetus.
Mm.
Big head.
Big head.
Big eyes. Mm. Because in fetal development, the eyes are huge. Okay, of a human fetus, the eyes are huge, the head looks big, and the body has to grow. You know, sometimes you'll see children that have a small body and a big head,
mm-hmm.
okay? Well, eventually they grow into the head. They're huge people, like tall people, okay?
Right?
It's like the head tips you off as to how big these people are going to be when they grow up. So in fetal development, the head relative to the body is huge, and the eyes are huge, and then the body grows into that,
right?
Okay? And so that's my theory. My theory is that these grays are archons. They're principalities.
Okay.
Who are we wrestling? Principalities. And they do have a certain power on this earth. So when I think about the aerial school incident in Zimbabwe, where this craft lands, silvery disc lands out at the edge of their playground, and out comes, the children describe them as sort of like floating and skipping across the ground. And some of these girls, you ought to see this interview with this, where John Mack is interviewing one of these girls. Sure, her eyes are just welling up in tears. As she's remembering these things, she is about ready to cry because she was so fearful. Because they looked fierce.
Wicked.
They have a fierce countenance.
Fierce countenance.
They are devils.
And it says the Antichrist is a king of fierce countenance.
King of fierce countenance, exactly. So who is he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, that's what I was showing you guys last night was all the depictions of these gods in various places. And I know, you know, the Greeks and the Romans, they just carved gods out that look like men. Okay. But they were sort of more developed civilization.
Right.
The more primitive civilizations actually drew them, I think, how they really look. Big head, big eyes, fierce countenance, in some cases, small bodies. And
so you believe that these grays are an order of fallen angels?
Yeah. Principalities.
Okay, they're an order, some type of order.
Yeah.
We don't know. All we can do is speculate as far as like what, but there's...
I've never met one and shook his hand and asked him, what are you now exactly?
And he wouldn't talk to you that way anyway.
He wouldn't talk...
I don't think he'd talk to you at all.
I wouldn't talk to him at all. I would say, in Jesus' name, get away from me.
I don't think he'd come near you anyway.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen usually to God's people.
Then
I would curl up
in a little fetal position and cry for an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the Nordic ones, these blonde-haired, blue-eyed, very tall, very muscular. No, they are, like
which
Luke
is,
over here.
Which is what Travis Walton saw. Once he woke up on his table and these grays are around him.
So there's two groups around
him. Yeah. And he jumps off the table, and these things go scurrying. They go out a door, and they go scurrying down the hall. So he looks down there, sees them running that way, and he goes, well, I'm going this way. If they're going that way, I'm going this way. And he goes down this hallway, and he said he walked into this room, and he sees this big display up on the wall, and it's stars. And he sees this panel and like a knob on there, and he's figuring, I'm going to figure out a way out of here. And he flips that knob, and all of a sudden the stars change like the ship moved. And he's going, uh-oh, what did I do? He hears something behind him. He turns around. He sees Luke, okay? He sees this guy that he says, thank goodness, a man, a human, okay?
Yeah.
But he's tall, and he describes him very handsome, muscular.
Right.
No whiskers, no blemishes on the faces, no scars.
Perfect.
Perfect. Blonde-haired. Sort of cut, like cropped, and he motions to him. So he takes Travis Walton into this big, then he realizes he must be like in a mothership or something like that, because he goes into this big area, and there's these little flying saucers all over the place. And he takes him over, and he sees two or three more over at this table. And he said they look similar but not identical. And one of them's a female. And he's looking at her, and he's like,
she's very attractive.
She's very attractive.
Perfect, okay? Physique.
Perfect physique. So he's trying to talk to them, but they don't talk back. And this woman has like a gas mask in her hand, puts it over his mouth. That's the last thing he remembers. He's out.
Out.
Then he's laying face down in the street on a county road, county highway, and when he looks up, he sees the ship going off up into space.
Gone.
Okay, and then he sees a light down the road. He knows what it is because he knows where he is. He goes down to the gas station, makes a phone call. So the Nordic, when I kept hearing the word Nordic.
Do you think they're more advanced than the Greys?
It's hard to say exactly. It seemed like Walton seemed to think that these Nordics were sort of in charge. But when I read the testimony of some of the people, and I haven't decided yet.
Right, it's something
I haven't decided yet out. If these people are actually taken up in a ship somewhere or
taken to the spirit world.
Or that idea is put into their head. Beamed into their mind. I don't know yet. I can't say that, yes, they're taken to a ship. They have a memory of that. But, again, that could be something that's put there. Because we know they're liars.
Right. Devils are always liars.
You can't trust.
And where can they really? Because we don't know where they could really take human beings. I mean, we don't know what God allows them to do specifically. We know that Satan did take Jesus,
yeah.
You know, in Matthew chapter 4, that he was allowed to.
Exactly. And we have, when I hear the flat earth people who say, earth is a pancake, heavens are this hard shell dome over the earth, that there are no satellites, there's never been any rockets go outside, there's nothing but this hard shell, and the sun and the moon is a projection, and the stars are a projection up there. That's stupid.
It is stupid.
Okay? Because there are three places in the Bible where God said man would do this. First place is Genesis 11. Let's build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Then in Amos chapter 9, God said, though you ascend up into heaven, I'll bring you back down.
Right.
And then in the next page over, Obadiah, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, though thou build thy nest among the stars,
right,
thence will I bring thee down. So one of the things that I know for a fact is that since recorded history, man has had in his being the desire to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Genesis 11, he's building a tower. Okay? Mm-hmm. We build skyscrapers.
Right.
Then we learned how to fly. And what's amazing to me, 60 years is all the time we had of manned flight on Earth. 60 years is it. And now we're on the moon.
Right.
That's more technology in 60 years than what man had in 6,000 years.
Right.
That tells me something beyond man was at work, giving him that information. Okay.
It's pretty amazing. You've got these for right now, and I'm not going to get you too far ahead of that because I know you're still studying a lot of those things out.
Yeah.
But let's go back a little bit here. We've got about 15 minutes probably, then we'll be done for the day here because got to give you some time here.
I had a nap.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I haven't had a nap yet.
Yeah. So I guess let's talk about a little bit about – so we go from – you got Aleister Crowley, you got all these guys. They're opening the doors of perception, right, to all these things, right, preparing the world, drug abuse, spirit world, false Bible perversions coming out, all the things being set up, all that stuff. Jesus said that in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's go back to the technology and the things that were happening around Babylon and things like that. I know we can't speak, like we don't have 100,000%, you know, understanding of all that. But let me just say this, that something was going on right before the flood.
Yeah.
That God was angry. You had giants. You had hybridization.
Yeah.
You definitely, Genesis 6, you've got to be blind as a bat and completely want to ignore the Bible in order to say that those sons of God did not come into the daughters of men, did not produce giants. All those things.
Yeah.
So what do you think the significance is when you look at the giants in Genesis 6, Noah, aliens, UFOs, and the time now?
Okay, the thing that hath been, the time is a river that repeats itself, Ecclesiastes 1, okay? And while we don't know exactly what happened prior to Noah, we know that God gave Noah the technology to build the ark. Okay, God put it into his mind that God told him verbally how big to make it. But then I think God assisted Noah in his wisdom, just like with, I can't remember who it was, but Moses had a guy that God said, "I've filled him with wisdom. I've given, put everything in his mind how I want it. So that it's going to be built exactly the way I want it." So I believe the devil and his devils can give man secret technology. Things that man only, you know, man, I talked about the imagination of man yesterday. What man imagines. It takes the science fiction writers. Jules Verne wrote a book called To the Moon and Back. And he actually, in the late 1800s, came up with the idea of using rocket stages. Okay? And that's exactly, the Saturn V rocket was in stages. First stage lifts them off, gets them off the Earth. They go to staging, which means that part of the rocket comes off. Stage two kicks in. Jules Verne thought about that back in the 1800s.
Yeah, where did he get that from?
Where did he get that from? Because that's exactly what happened, okay? And Von Braun was against it. Von Braun, that wasn't his idea, but somebody, another engineer, came up with it and said, why don't we do this in stages? So anyway, we the science fiction writers imagine it. Then the scientists say, oh, that's a pretty interesting idea. How can we do that? So we know, before the flood, I think we have the remnants of the giants still around. I think the Sphinx, a Great Pyramid, definitely these huge megalithic stone walls that are all through South America. The Bosnian Pyramid is huge. It's bigger than the Great Pyramid at Giza, but it's covered up with trees and dirt and grass and everything else. But it's a pyramid for sure. You ever seen it before?
Where's that at now?
It's in Bosnia.
Okay.
It looks like there's a village at the base of it, and it looks like a quiet little village on the side of a mountain. But when you look at it, it's a four-sided pyramid.
Wow.
And there's a guy right now that has found a tunnel network all through there.
Hmm.
And he's been thousands of yards into these tunnels, and he said for some reason there's still fresh air in here.
Wow.
We have no idea where it's coming from. Okay? But anyway, there's no doubt that before the flood, these giants had technology.
Okay.
And they gave technology to man. But they had a technology for their time. I don't know how advanced it was. I don't think they had microwave ovens and TVs, and they were the Flintstones, and I don't believe that. But I believe that they, you know, I read the Book of Enoch once,
mm-hmm.
and I closed it, and I said, that's not the Word of God,
right.
Okay? But it does sort of give you a detail in the Book of Enoch that these guys, these giants, were telling people how to do stuff that
they shouldn't have known how to do.
Shouldn't have done. Okay? So I believe the thing that hath been is the thing that shall be. And so what I was saying about man has this desire to go out beyond the earth and the moon and Mars is that one of the things that I absolutely believe is being worked on is the ability to get man beyond earth. Ben Rich, who was the CEO of Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, top secret government contractor working on like the B-2 bomber, stealth bomber. Ben Rich made a statement, known statement, and he said, we do now have the ability to take E.T. home. So I believe that the technology exists. I don't know if it's been used yet, but I believe the technology was given by these principalities, powers, to mankind, maybe deliberately, maybe accidentally, but I do believe that man is either going to get or already has the ability to go beyond this solar system. It's man's desire.
Right.
And think about it. God's going to judge this earth. He's going to pour out his wrath on it and everybody that's on it. And so why did God say twice, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, thence will I bring thee down? If you leave and go out there, I'm going to drag you back down here. I'm going to make sure, I'm going to make sure you're here.
Like so Satan, he told me he's going to
fall. You've got Elon Musk and the guy from Virgin Atlantic, Richard, what's his name?
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
These guys, all these billionaires are saying, yeah, we have to get off the planet. We have to get off the planet. We have to put colonies.
Going to save them from the wrath to come.
Exactly. That's my theory, is that down deep inside, they know something's coming. They may not think it's going to be the wrath of God, but they think this earth is going to die off. Nuclear war. It's going to be destroyed. We got to get off here. We got to seed other planets so we can destroy them. Okay.
Right.
In other words. So I think they know down deep inside God's judgment is coming. We got to get off this planet so we can escape it. But it's not going to. God's already said.
Just like in the days of Noah.
That's not going to work.
Right.
So
you have these. I guess the common knowledge now that about these gray aliens and these other, you know, gray aliens. You hear about the Nordics sometimes, and you're saying there's another class probably of reptilians.
Yeah.
Is that those are different than those two?
Yeah.
And then you have these.
They're the dragons, the fiery serpents.
The fiery serpents, which is not far-fetched because it's in the Bible, so we see. And they're like men.
And they bit those guys. They bit the Israelites.
Right.
And poisoned them, killed them.
I think that it's more that all these beasts and these other things that are being developed, well, actually not developed, but they're out there already.
Yeah.
Do you think these gray aliens and these Nordics and things like that, do you think that when they fall, when those ships, those nine in Roswell or wherever they're at,
mm-hmm.
when they fell, those gray aliens were in those ships, or do you think they can leave those and they're like they have nothing to do with that? Because you're talking about the spirit is in the wheel.
Yeah.
The Bible says that. So what does that mean exactly? Does that mean that gray alien is in there? That's the spirit. He's the spirit in the wheel?
One of the things that Colonel Corso, Linda Moulton Howe, and a lot of these people that have seen him, they said those saucers were alive. Okay. And they watched. One guy said, I watched one of them die because it changed color. Went from like whatever color it was to brown, and they said it died. And that told, and I've heard this from other places, that told them that those saucers at one time were alive. So here's the entity, and his spirit is in this craft, which is not, again, when you think about it, it's not far-fetched because the wheels were alive.
Right.
The wheels had a living spirit in them. The image of the beast is going to come alive.
Right.
Okay? Something mm-hmm. carved by man, something built by man out of inanimate material is going to come alive. How is it going to do that? The false prophet is going to make it. Okay?
Right.
And Linda Moulton Howe got onto a story. There was these drones, and this is back years ago before people were flying drones.
Mm-hmm.
That these drone people were catching these drones on camera, and they made no sound, and they had strange markings on them. Mm-hmm. And her idea was, she somebody sent her a document from a lab, a top secret lab, where they had some of these things, and they said the language and the characters on the drone itself was the power source and the brain in these drones.
Okay.
The words. Now think about that. The word of God is quick, which means what?
Alive.
Okay. The entrance of thy words giveth light. We know that. What did Jesus do to Lazarus?
Spoke.
So we know God's word has power. Even has the power to raise dead men back to life.
Yep.
Okay. So what if something about, we know the spirit is words. So I ask the question, what if the language that these speak, a language whom thou shalt not understand, what if their language has the ability to give inanimate objects life? How is the false prophet going to make this image come to life? Because this image is going to come to life and say, I want everybody that doesn't worship me to have their head cut off. That's a desire. That's a will. That's a human trait.
Yep.
My dog doesn't have a will or a desire. He just has his limited brain, and that's it. He just can't think of himself as alive. I can. I can have a will and a desire, but this teacup can't.
But they're going to make objects.
They're going to make that image come alive somehow, some way. And my theory is that it has to do with the language. Because Colonel Halt at Rendlesham, at that Air Force base in England, he said that saucer, he actually had his pocket recorder, and he said that saucer that landed, he noticed that it had strange markings on it, like hieroglyphics. And he ran his hand across it, and he could feel the letters.
Wow.
When he felt those letters, he said, stuff came into my mind. And he said, it freaked him out. It was there. He was having nightmares. He was having mental breakdowns. And he started writing out a series of zeros and ones out on paper that was in his mind.
Wow.
Which is binary code. Once he wrote the last zero down, it was gone.
Wow.
But what was that? But that was in his mind from him touching those letters, that hieroglyphics that was on that UFO. That's what he reported. Okay? Mm. So that makes me think Bible. I always look for the answers in the Bible. And I ask the question, is it possible that an inanimate machine can actually be a living entity? And yes,
yep.
It can. According to the scriptures, Ezekiel 1, Revelation 13, I have two witnesses that tell me it's possible.
So you don't think that the gray is the spirit of that? You think those are probably separate beings? Can't really tell?
No, I think once, you know, that panel that I showed last night
right.
with the six fingers.
Yes.
The alien touches that and he becomes one. With the ship. Okay? So wherever his will is to go, just like in Ezekiel 1, Wherever his will is to go, that's where it goes. Okay? So when he wills it to go to D.C., it goes to D.C. When he wills it to go to Zeta Reticuli or Pluto or wherever, that's where it goes. And it goes there as quick as thought, at the speed of thought. However fast you can
But if that thing dies, then that gray dies too.
I don't know that.
Okay.
Because usually once the ship crashes, that's God then mortalizing both of them. They've left the fourth dimension. They left the higher spiritual realm.
Their first estate.
Their first estate and come down here, just like in the movie City of Angels, where the angel falls in love with Meg Ryan. And he's told, you got to fall. And so he does. He takes a big cliff dive, boom, lands right in the street.
Man, that's wicked.
Now he's human. Okay? And
it's
I'm going,
so wicked, man.
I read this story before. It's in Genesis 6.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's something when you think about it. It really is just a, but it's, I think we're going to hear more about it. I think there's going to be more
Absolutely.
That comes.
Be watching.
Yeah.
Be watching. There's more coming.
There's a lot.
Tom DeLonge's going to make sure that more. Tom DeLonge has hinted that this year is going to be a very eye-opening year,
revealing.
because he has the guys at the CIA and the Pentagon who know, and they have what they call tangibles. They've released the story that they have what they call tangibles, which means that they have pieces of something. That the technology they are working on to give to humankind. Tom DeLonge has said that, and he is a square and compass Freemason.
It's interesting because I have a friend that I know that told a story about those grays about as a child went, you know, they don't know what, if they were in a dream state or what they were in, but they went straight down in through the earth.
Yep.
And went down into a place.
I know that story because he told it to me.
Yeah, went down into that place, which is what like all those other men described.
There's stories about underground places that are connected throughout the country. There are stories like that all over the internet.
And well, those grays are just running.
You and I both know a guy that went there.
Yeah, and they're running, and these grays are running.
Yeah.
Just like you said,
their hands on these panels.
They're running the panels.
Yeah. And they turned around and looked at him, and it was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, phoop.
He's back in his body.
He was gone.
This is before he was saved.
Yes.
And
as a child.
His mother, because he said, I recorded him, and he said, I could say it.
Yep.
His mother was a hostess at. What famous place?
Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Because that was her line of work.
Yes.
And that's how he grew up. And he had a fascination with the occult from a child. Mm-hmm. And he said he could astral project.
Mm-hmm. And he had imps and different things visit him.
Yep.
Doleful creatures.
Doleful creatures.
Would visit him.
Yep.
And animate different things.
Yep.
Objects.
I had it when things. I told this recently. And I had a family come up to me and they said, Pastor, we got to tell you. And he said, you can believe us or not. When our daughters were little, we heard them screaming one night. We jumped up out of bed, went into their room. One of our daughters was standing up watching these scaly little creatures dancing around their other daughter's bed. And she was like passed out going like that, just babbling.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, disappeared. So they said, we anointed the walls, the bed, the house.
Everything they could think
of. We anointed the girls. We prayed, fasted, and haven't come back since. But I'm going, why don't I believe them? I don't have a reason to.
What would be the purpose of a lie? I mean, honestly.
They weren't looking for publicity.
These people aren't looking for recognition. They're not like trying to make.
And I said, have you told anybody this? And they said, who would we tell? Who would we tell?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who's going to believe us?
The gal that saw Bigfoot when she was 13 years old.
Right.
I asked her, who have you told? She said, well, we told our mom and dad. They didn't believe us. And after that, we haven't told a living soul. There's a lady that sat in my office and told me, Southern Arkansas, it's all woods, all forest. She's 19 years old. She's trying to get home before her curfew is at 11. And she said she's going down this old country highway out in the middle of the woods, and there is a centaur standing there on the side of the road. Human, half beast thing, just standing there. And she said, I asked her, I said, how long did you see it? She said, about 6 seconds. And I went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's long enough to know exactly what you're looking at.
You know, I had a friend that was, I haven't talked to him in years and years and years, but this is probably about 7 or 8 years ago. He told me a story that he was working for the government, and he was over in New Mexico or someplace like that.
Yeah.
And he saw one of these things, a chupacabra or some weird, and this weird hybrid thing.
What?
No, I don't know what it was. It was like some, and it was like a bat thing that once it came up like this and it extended its wings out.
Look up.
And it flew away.
No kidding. Chicago Batman.
Yeah.
There's a guy that's written several books about people seeing this humanoid bat creature that throws its wings out.
And he was
out,
supposed to check it out
like
over
the
there.
Like the Mothman in West Virginia.
He was supposed to check it out when he was over there in Mexico for the government. And he went over there and was like, well, you shut up about it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what it was like. And I'm like, this guy's not lying to me. Like, nobody I mean, you could tell when people are, like, making stuff up and they're trying to, like, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean,
all you have to do is ask the question, is it possible for angels to be seen? And the Bible says yes. So then ask the question, then is it possible for devils to be seen? The answer has to be yes. And what form do they take? Well, the Bible gives us several of their forms.
Serpent beast creatures.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all kinds of different
humanoid
things.
Humanoid is the term, what we see in Ezekiel 1. They had the appearance of a man, but they had different faces. So that is a humanoid appearance.
Amen. Well, we're gonna have to stop there, and everything sounds crazy with that stuff, but you know what? If you want to continue to listen to Pastor Mike's stuff, you can hear him tonight. He'll be live here at 7, but I'll tell you that it's not crazy when you believe the Bible.
Amen.
It's not crazy when you understand there's a spirit world. It's not crazy when you understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not. It isn't that we wrestle devils.
Yeah.
It's not when you're sitting there and you have into your mind beamed the most invading thoughts ever that have nothing to do with anything you're thinking, and you have no desire for anything like that. Yeah. And it's like, phew, and it's like beamed in. What is that? That's the fiery arrows of the wicked.
Yeah.
The fiery darts. That's what the Bible tells us. That's not unusual. That's not like, I mean, it's scary. It can be scary, but we have an answer for it.
Without a shield of faith, you don't have any defense against it. They're fired.
Right.
But you have to have the shield of faith, which means I trust what God said.
That's right. It's the Bible.
Amen.
And that's where we get it from, and that's our defense, and that's our answer. When all these people say, we don't know what they come from, we don't know where they're from, we don't know it, and we say, no, we do know.
Yeah.
God told us.
Mm-hmm.
It builds your faith in God's word, and it causes people that are not Christians to say, you know what? These people, they're going to the Bible, and their book tells them what these things are. And there's going to be a whole world of people out there. Time is going to tell whether they really believe God's word or not. Because when these deceptive creatures come out, listen, I'm going to tell you, and I know we got to go, but listen to me. When these deceptive creatures come out, and the deception that people are going through, we talked about the stressful mind yesterday. You talked about all that stuff. and how the spirit world works, and what we don't understand, the amount of things and delusion that's being thrown at people when people suffer depression, anxiety, and all this stuff. It's not all spiritual,
right.
But I'm telling you, a lot of it is. Those devils come and they start firing at you, and you don't understand where it's coming from. And that's the visible deception that is going to come to this world and is coming, and it's going to rock some people. They're going to question their faith.
They're
going to be like, well, my preacher never told me there was anything such as aliens and UFOs and all this other stuff. They didn't tell me anything about that. And we're going to be like, well, we did tell you. It's here, and God has an answer for it, and you got to believe his book, because strong delusion is coming. And people are going to believe a lie.
If you have any experience with anything like this, send me an email at witness@cryptidbible.com. And give me permission, and I'll put it on our website.
Amen. All right, guys, take care. We'll talk to you soon.